HarperCollins presents The Hero by Lee Child, read by Jeff Harding. Let's start with opium. That venerable poppy grew wild and natural after the retreat of the last ice age, across a broad band of territory stretching from Asia Minor to the Mediterranean to North Africa. We know from the archaeological record that new Stone Age farmers were interested in it. A carefully curated stash of seeds about 7,000 years old was discovered near the Mediterranean Sea. 17 other new Stone Age sites throughout what we now call Europe show evidence of opium use 5,000 or 6,000 years ago, and the first deliberate cultivation of the poppy, as opposed to its casual collection, seems to have happened in Mesopotamia over 5,000 years ago, organized by the local Sumerians, who called their crop Hulgil, which translates as the joy plant. I would love to know who tried it first. I would love to know who tried anything first. Who first dug up a strange root or random tuber and thought, hey, you know what, maybe I should cook this and eat it. In particular, I would love to know how many died trying. Our species seems to be restless and curious to a degree that seems almost unhinged. Recent research concerning the Neanderthal people shows them to have been pretty much the opposite of what we have long assumed. They were intelligent, bigger-brained, better animals than us. Stronger, faster, healthier, more durable, better toolmakers, caring, compassionate, gentle, artistic, and organized. But they seem to have been constitutionally timid. Their settlements migrated slowly, cautiously, and sensibly. Often, a new settlement would be within sight of a previous settlement. In particular, travel over water seems never to have been attempted, unless the far shore was clearly visible. By contrast, our own ancestors, Homo sapiens, went anywhere and everywhere, many of them, we assume, to their doom. Not cautious or sensible at all. The consensus, in what I suppose we could call psychological archaeology, seems to be that Homo neanderthalensis was painfully rational, and Homo sapiens was batshit crazy. Crazy enough, certainly, for one of them to notice the pretty red flower, to scratch its immature seed pod, to watch the sticky latex ooze out, and then to think, hey, you know what? Maybe I should collect this stuff and dry it, and then suck it or chew it or smoke it. I would like to meet that person. Certainly his or her inspiration was way more complicated than, for instance, finding a carrot and deciding to try a bite. Restless and curious indeed. Although smoking is a misnomer, the latex was not itself set on fire, but indirectly heated, and the active ingredients were inhaled as they gassed off. Vaping, 5,000 years ago. Nothing new under the sun. The effect, then as now, was of a deeply warm, hugely satisfying contentment, washing unstoppably over the user, leaving him or her laid out and passive for hours at a time, inert and endlessly contemplative. As a result, the opium poppy's scientific name is Poppaver somniferum, which is Latin for the poppy that carries you to sleep. Of course, the problem with an extract from a plant growing wild and natural, or even farmed, given good years and bad, was that dosage was fundamentally unpredictable. The 16th century physician Gabriel Fallopius complained bitterly that opium tended to be either too weak or too strong, and if weak, it didn't help, and if strong, it was exceedingly dangerous. An overdose caused the victim's breathing to slow down and down and down, until it stopped altogether. Not good. So began a quest to isolate the active ingredients, in order to deliver them in known and reliable doses. Like most things to do with practical chemistry, not much happened until the 19th century, when, between 1804 and 1817, a German pharmacist named Friedrich Sehrturner zeroed in on a particular compound that made up about 12% of the latex by weight. It seemed to be where the action was. The other 88% was window dressing. Sehrturner got better at getting the good
Sample complete. Ready to continue?